hello and a very good afternoon from the UK. You are listening to The Global Voice and it's time for another edition of What's Cooking with me, Sue Hadfield. I'm going to be with you for the next 30 minutes, so I hope you're going to stick around and enjoy the show. As usual, we've got quite a bit to get through, so what's cooking? Today I'm going to talk about crockpot cooking, or as we know it over here in the UK, slow cooking. I've often said on the show that we all lead very busy lives, and slow cookers are considered by many, including me, to be one of the best time-saving kitchen appliances of today. Because all you do, basically, is fill the pot with your chosen ingredients, plug in, switch on, and leave the slow cooker to do the rest while you get on with your day. So, particularly good for the beginner cook, don't you think? Very simple, very easy. And for those of you who may be worried about heat, flames, fire, that sort of thing, there is none of that with the slow cooker. It heats up very, very gently, and it's totally safe. You can go out for the day knowing that your food will be cooking safely, and imagine coming home in the evening and opening the front door and having the smells of stew or casserole wafting through the house. What could be nicer? And you have a meal already cooked and ready to serve up. No fuss, no mess, and very little clearing up to do afterwards. There are a wealth of recipes out there for the slow cooker, and pretty much anything can be cooked in one. Meat, vegetables, fruits, desserts, you can even make beverages. But enough of me talking about how easy these appliances are to use and how great they are. I'm going to actually show you how easy it is to use the crock pot or slow cooker, and I'm going to be cooking a beef stew. I'm going to be blending lots of vegetables, meat and herbs together along with some stock, and I'm not following a particular recipe, although this is loosely based on something that my granddad used to cook for us when we were children. So not following a particular recipe, just blending lots of ingredients together that I think have wonderful flavours. So, let's cook. And
this is what you do.
So here we are once again in the kitchen, ready to prepare the ingredients for the stew. And in front of me on the worktop or counter, I have 2 medium onions, 3 medium carrots, 1 largish leek, 2 cloves of garlic, and some baby new potatoes, and I also have the stewing beef. So we're going to start off by preparing the leek. And last month I said that I would talk a little about chopping vegetables. Now, the easiest way for me, or the way I find best, is to use an old-fashioned knife. And I appreciate this is not for everyone. There are lots of ways to chop vegetables, so I'm certainly not advocating that this is the way. It is the way that I find the most comfortable. It's the way that I've always done it. There are various gadgets that you can buy that will chop your veg for you, various attachments for food processing machines, etc. And I've used a fair number of these, but I must say that personally, I find that they don't chop the vegetables to a sort of size that I like. I like chunky vegetables, and I do find that a lot of these gadgets, or the ones that I have tried, chop them far too thinly. So I much prefer to use a good old-fashioned knife. And as I said earlier, this stew is being made sort of to a recipe that my grandpa used to make.
And I used to stand beside him and he would chop the vegetables into slices, and then I would have a smaller knife and chop the vegetables into cubes. So I've been using knives for chopping since I was quite small, 6 or 7. But obviously when I was younger, I was supervised. Anyway, we're going to prepare the leek, and which I have already washed as it had quite a lot of soil on it, and stripped some of the leaves off by hand. But there comes a point where you actually have to cut off the top of the leek. So what I do is I place my fingers near the top of the leek where it starts to branch out into little leaves. Put my knife just above my fingers, remove my fingers, and then press down with the knife and draw the knife towards me. There, that's the top of the leek. Cut off, and no danger to my fingers. We're now going to cut off the other end of the leek. So, similarly, I place my fingers at the bottom end of the leek, and you'll find it's got quite a hard core, so you want to place your fingers just above that. Place the knife just by your fingers where you want to cut, remove your fingers, and press down and draw the knife towards you. There. And basically, this is what you do to chop the leek. Now, I'm using a chopping board or a worktop saver. This is a board that we can put on hot pans or hot dishes, and they also double up as chopping boards. They're made of glass, and I have two of these, but obviously a wooden chopping board will also do. So, leek on the board. Again, put your fingers where you want to cut. Knife just above your fingers. Move your fingers away and press and draw the knife. And we're going to do that all the way along the leek. Now you will find that the leek will perhaps fall to pieces or start to. They're a bit like onions, and actually they are a member of the onion family, as I'm sure you know. But just nice and steadily. And that is the leek. And into the pot it goes, like so. Next we are going to be chopping the carrots, and we need to chop off the ends first. So similar to the leek, put your finger or your fingers right at the end where you're going to chop, put the knife just above your fingers and press down, draw the knife to the side. And with the other end, same again. So that is the ends chopped off the carrot. And we're going to chop just like the leek. So put your fingers where you want to cut. Knife just a little above your fingers and press down slowly. Draw the knife to the side. Move along a little. Fingers where you want to cut. Knife above your fingers. Press down and draw the knife. You might not have to draw the knife to the side with the carrots because it's not as tough as the leek. Now, I haven't peeled these carrots. Some people like to peel them, others don't. And certainly on this occasion, I haven't. Moving our fingers along the carrot a little at a time, putting the knife just above our fingers, moving your hands away and chop. There we are. Into the pot it goes. Next we are going to chop the onions, and I've already peeled these, and those of you who were listening last month when I made stir fry may remember that I said I like to cut the ends off the onion before I peel it, and so I've already done that. What I do to chop an onion is I place my thumb and a couple of fingers either side of the onion. I'd stand the onion on end. So it's sort of like you're making a little tent over the onion, okay, with your thumb and fingers. Then place the knife in the middle of your thumb and fingers, so sort of inside the little tent, and press down and draw the knife to the side perhaps. So you've chopped your onion in half. Now you may find that the onion starts to break up, as did the leek. All of this type of veg, the onion family, does. So you might feel safer perhaps breaking the onion up, and it's very easy to do. If not, again, similar to the leek and the carrot, although it's a little of a different shape, or a lot of a different shape, just place your fingers where you want to chop. Knife near to the fingers, remove your fingers and cut down. You may feel you want to draw the knife to the side, so you're just slicing the onion nice and slowly. And of course, yes, it is falling to pieces, but that doesn't matter. Now, I'm sure there'll be those of you who have other tricks and tips for chopping. Those of you perhaps sitting there thinking, oh my goodness, I wouldn't do it that way. But that's the thing with cooking. We all have our ways of doing things. Some people will feel comfortable with, and some people will not. But, you know, that's what it's all about. And if you have different ways of chopping your vegetables, then why not let us know? I'll be telling you how towards the end of the programme. So, there's one onion chopped, and into the pot it goes. Now, I can't remember whether I said at the beginning of the preparation, but I am going to put in a pepper, a bell pepper. And so we're going to take off the stalk. Fairly easy to break off, or should be. There we go. Actually, having taken the stalk out, the pepper has sort of split quite nicely, but not all the way down. But we're going to make that little tent again with our thumb and fingers, either side of the pepper, near the top. Put the knife in the middle and press down like so. That's your pepper in half, and we're going to scoop out the seeds by banging the two halves of the pepper together to make sure we get them all out. There they go. Lots of seeds in this one. You can also scoop them out with your hands. All seeds out, and back to the chopping board to chop the pepper. And basically it's the same. Put your fingers where you want to cut, knife above fingers, move the hand away, press down, draw to the side. Next we're going to chop the potatoes. Well, I say chop. These are baby new potatoes, so they don't really need chopping. Some of them may perhaps need chopping in half. And I'm not going to peel these or anything, because they're nice and clean. And if they have got skin on them, it's very, very thin. And new potatoes tend to have a very, very thin skin on them. So really, they don't need peeling. What I generally do if I feel some of the skin does need to come off is run the potatoes under water, and while the tap is running, use a clean washing up brush just to gently scrub the potatoes a little, and that will take off any excess skin. But that is really all this type of potato needs. No peeling with a knife or peeler. Some people do like to. They like to, what they call, scrape the potatoes to take every little bit of skin off. But I don't bother. But these don't need it, as I said. So, all I'm going to do is chop some of these in half. And again, we're going to make our little tent just to steady the potato. Knife in the middle between your thumb and fingers. Press down, draw to the side. Nicely cut in half. And actually, that's quite a big one, so I'm going to cut it into three. So the bigger half I'm going to put onto the board, cut as we did our other veg. Next one. Three as well. So making the little tent again with the next potato. Knife in the middle. Press down. That's a tough one. Draw it to the side. And into the pot they go. Incidentally, I've already put the pepper in the pot if you're wondering what happened to that. And that's quite a small one, so that will go in whole. There, into the pot with the potatoes. Next, the garlic. And all I'm going to do here is put a couple of cloves of garlic into my garlic crusher, having peeled them first, of course, which I have done, and just crush. I do enjoy doing that. And into the pot it goes. Just scraping out the garlic crusher. As I said last month, a lot of people don't like garlic. We love it here, and I always associate it with someone having had a nice meal. And it's very good for you. There we are. Into the pot with the garlic. Now for the meat, which you can buy already chopped, but ours has come in two largish pieces, so I'm going to chop this. And to do this, I'm going to use a good sharp pair of kitchen scissors rather than a sharp knife. It's probably best to do it this way, because if the meat is fairly tough, you might end up snagging your fingers, so safest to use a good pair of kitchen scissors. Or that's what I think anyway, you may think differently. So what I do is I hold the meat between thumb and finger, place it between the scissors, and put the scissors sort of next to my thumb. Now, move your thumb away and cut, so that when the meat comes off, when the scissors have gone through, you're actually holding the piece of meat that has been cut off. And you can either put that to one side or into the pot, like so, and do the same again. Thumb and finger holding the meat between the scissors, scissors next to your thumb. Move thumb away and squeeze the scissors together. The meat I'm using is stewing steak, but obviously you can use any meat of your choice. That's all the veg and the meat chopped and in the pot. And next I'm going to add some herbs. Now, when cooking in the slow cooker, you don't need as much herbs as you would use if you were cooking in the oven or on the top of the stove. Just a little. So over at my spice rack now, and I'm going to add some mixed herbs and some paprika. So back over to the counter. And I'm going to put in just a little pinch of each. Now, these are dried herbs, but you can buy frozen herbs or, obviously, fresh. In go the mixed herbs, and now for the paprika. Just give it a little shake in. There we are. that's the herbs. I'm also going to add some barley, some pearl barley, just to thicken up the stew a bit and to give it a bit of flavour. So all I'm going to do is pour a little into my hand, just about a handful. And into the pot it goes. Like so. And last but by no means least, the stock. Now I am using something called stock pot. I'm not sure if this is available in other countries, but certainly over here it's very handy if you don't want to make a lot of fresh stock. And all it is a tiny little pot of fresh stock with a little bit of foil over the top. All I'm going to do is take off the foil. Like so. And pour this into 500 mils of hot water. Now this is a rich beef stock, as we're making a beef stew. You don't have to use fresh stock. You could make your own with bouillon cube, or you could make your own fresh stock. Any stock will do, obviously depending on what you're using. Oh, into the jug it goes. And I'm just going to mix this up to melt the stock into the water. Smells good already. Giving this a good stir. Make sure it's all dissolved. Like so. And then all I'm going to do is to pour this into the pot. Here we go. Lovely. Make sure that is out. There. So, that's all your ingredients prepared. And that is basically all you do. Chop your veg, chop your meat, certainly for this type of recipe, and put in the pot, add your herbs and spices or whatever, your stock. If you're going to be making something that requires a sauce, i.e. a thicker sauce, do not add it at this point. You should add it just half an hour before your recipe is cooked. So now I'm just going to pop on the lid, like so, and heave this over to the base. Being very careful not to drop it, because it's extremely heavy now. And into the base it goes. And I'm going to put this on the low setting. Some crock pots or slow cookers have a low and a high and an auto setting. Mine does, but this will cook on the low setting for approximately 8 hours. And I'm just going to turn this on and leave it. That's all you need to do. It's very tempting to want to lift the lid when you start to smell all this delicious food cooking, but please try very hard not to do that. I've been a victim of that in the past, because if you do, once you put the lid back on, it will take a long time to get back up to temperature, and so you're going to prolong the cooking time. So please try not to lift the lid. Your food isn't going to burn, there's no fire, no flames. Just leave it to cook and you can get on with your day.
As far as temperatures are concerned, the low setting is around 200 degrees F and the high setting at or around 300 degrees F. And 1 hour on the high setting is approximately equal to 2.5 hours on the low setting. And some crop pots will have a third setting called auto, which starts on high for a few hours and then automatically turns itself down to low. But appliances vary, so you won't find the auto setting on all crock pots. It's generally recommended that you cook combinations of meat and vegetables for 8 to 10 hours on the low setting, though some recipes will recommend that you cook on the high setting, but this will depend on what you're cooking. If you heard last month's show, you will know that I cooked stir fry, and in all the excitement of the cooking, I omitted to tell you how much oil I was using in the wok. Well, I generally use a couple of tablespoons, certainly no more, and perhaps a little less depending on the type of meat I'm cooking. Many thanks to Lee for querying that. If you'd like to contact the programme, you can do so by emailing cookin@theglobalvoice.info. That's cookin@theglobalvoice.info. Maybe you have a favourite recipe you'd like to share, or something you've heard on the show that you'd like to query. Send us your funny stories, your cooking experiences, things you've achieved, things you'd like to achieve. Everything is welcome. And as I said last month, this show is not just for the experienced cook. I know that there are those of you out there who listen who are just beginning with cooking, and those who would like to but feel a little bit afraid because of heat and flames and so on. So if you have a particular question, etc., please get in touch. Don't feel that any question is too silly, too stupid. If I can, I'm only too happy to help. And do remember that next month's show will be all about Easter and the types of food that are cooked around that time. So if you have any ideas or recipes you would like me to include, please get these to me no later than the 1st of March. To hear this show again, go to theglobalvoice.info/gallery, where, as well as this particular show, you can now find all past What's Cooking shows. You can also go to incx.org/whatscooking, where you can download our podcast or look through our recipe pages. That's all we have time for this month, so until I'm with you again, take care of yourselves and each other, and as always, happy cooking!